everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Metanoia Madness. I'm your host, Nicholas, music creator, entrepreneur turned podcaster, lover of all things spiritual, mystical, and unknown. This is episode 80, How Do I Let Go Without Giving Up? Welcome back to Metanoia Madness, the podcast where we don't just grow, we unravel, release, and reimagine what it means to live aligned, where healing isn't about fixing what's broken, but learning to stop gripping what was never ours to hold. And today I want to talk about something that's been both a quiet superpower and a necessary survival tool for me this past year. Detachment. Not the cold, distant kind. Not the kind that says I don't care when you actually do. I'm talking about the kind of detachment that asks you to stand in the middle of a storm and still choose peace. The kind that doesn't mean you stop loving, but that you stop clinging. That you stop trying to force clarity or rush timing, or bend over backwards just to feel safe again. This past year, I've had to let go of people, let go of outcomes, let go of a version of my life that I thought I was supposed to be living by now. And not because I wanted to, but because I had to. Because holding on was starting to feel more painful than setting it all down. And I'll be honest, detachment doesn't always feel empowering at first. Sometimes it feels like grief. Sometimes it feels like failure. Like losing something you spent a long time trying to build. But over time, it starts to feel like freedom. And that's what this episode is about. How I've learned to let go without giving up. How I've stayed soft in the face of disappointment and open even when life didn't meet me the way I hoped it would. How detachment became the thing that helped me stay me in the middle of uncertainty, heartbreak, and all the unknowns. So if you're in the season of release, if you're standing in the in-between, unsure whether it's safe to let go or brave to keep holding on, this episode is for you. Let's talk about what it really means to detach. Without disconnecting, to trust, without knowing, and to stay rooted even when nothing around you feels stable. Detachment has a reputation, and not always a good one. When people hear the word detachment, they often think of shutting down, cold, disconnected, passive. The person who says, I don't care, is a shield, not a truth. The one who seems untouched by life, but really they're just unreachable. But real detachment, the kind that rewires you, has nothing to do with numbness. It's not a wall you build to stay safe. It's a doorway into clarity. It's not about suppressing your emotions. It's about not letting your emotions run the show. It's not about abandoning hope or desire. It's about releasing the grip you've placed around the outcome. Because clinging is not the same thing as caring. And sometimes the most honest, loving thing you can do is let go of what you thought you needed. That's a lesson I've had to learn over and over this past year. Not in a textbook way. But in real time, through delayed timelines, through uncertain relationships, through car breakdowns, lost momentum, and goals that didn't unfold how I envisioned. I didn't detach because I'm some perfectly enlightened version of myself. I detached because I had to. Because staying attached to how I thought things should go was starting to cost me my peace, my energy, and my ability to stay present. And the truth is, attachment doesn't feel like attachment until life delays something you were so sure was going to happen. Until someone pulls away. Until your identity gets tangled up in a path that suddenly vanishes. That's when you realize just how tightly you were holding on. And how unsafe it feels to let go. But detachment isn't the absence of emotion. It's the maturity to hold your emotions without letting them rule you. It's knowing you can be fully in your body, fully in your heart, and still not be ruled by the fear of loss. That's what changed for me. I stopped needing things to go a certain way to feel safe. I stopped outsourcing my peace to plans, and in that space, I found something deeper than control. I found trust, not just trust in the universe, not just trust in divine timing, but trust in myself, that I could meet life as it came, messy, beautiful, uncertain, and stay grounded in who I was. Because when you're attached to outcomes, you live in a constant state of tension. Hypervigilance becomes normal. You overanalyze every word, every delay, every silence. You start to chase signs instead of truth, and your nervous system starts living in a loop that says, if I don't get what I want, I won't be okay. But here comes the reframe. Detachment is not giving up on what you desire. It's giving up on the belief that what you desire has to arrive on your timeline, in your way, through your logic. It's surrender without apathy. It's softness without collapse. It's hope without desperation. It's knowing that what's meant for you will find you, but not if your hands are cleansed and your heart is closed. You can want love and not force it. You can believe in your path and still release the need to know every step. You can desire abundance and still detach from the story that it has to look like struggle. This year has asked me to practice that kind of detachment. Not as a concept, but as a lifestyle. As a nervous system reset. As a way of moving through the world without constant resistance. And what I've noticed is, the more I let go, the more space I create. The more I stop gripping, the more clarity I receive. And the less I try to control what happens next, the more I actually feel alive in what's happening now. Detachment isn't a loss of feeling. It's the doorway to presence, to peace, to power. Not because you have everything figured out, but because you no longer need to. So if you're in a season of holding on too tightly to a relationship, a dream, a version of your identity, I hope this invites you to soften, to stop clenching your fists, to trust the deeper rhythm underneath your fear, and to remember that you're never more whole than when you stop chasing things to prove it. There's a strange kind of grief that comes when your life doesn't unfold the way you planned. Not because anything catastrophic happened, but because everything you were working toward started to feel delayed, distant, out of sync with the timeline you had in your head. I entered this year with momentum, with hope, with a quiet belief that certain things were finally lining up, that this was the season when it would all come together. The projects I planned, the financial flow I've been working toward, the recognition, the rhythm, the breakthrough. But instead, things unraveled, slowly, then all at once. There were moments I felt like I was on the brink of something, only to be met with pause, resistance, redirection. And that's the thing about detachment. You don't realize how tightly you were holding on to your version of how it should be until life offers you silence instead of signs. At first, I thought I was being punished, like maybe I'd missed some invisible checkpoint, or hadn't worked hard enough, or believed enough, or sacrificed enough. Because that's what we're taught, right? The reward comes after the effort. That if we grind, stay patient, and keep our heads down, eventually, life gives us what we deserve. But life doesn't always work that way. And when it didn't for me, when the timeline I thought I was supposed to be on began dissolving beneath my feet, I had to make a choice. Either I could spiral into scarcity and try to force the path back into alignment, or I could sit with the discomfort, the not yet, the unknown, and choose to trust anyway. I chose to trust it. Not easily, not perfectly, but honestly. Because somewhere in the detour, I remembered something. I wasn't just detaching from a timeline. I was detaching from the version of myself who believed life had to be hard to be meaningful. I lived a lot of my journey as the starving artist. Like I had to earn my dreams through exhaustion. Like working 3 jobs just to create was noble. And ease was suspicious. But what if I didn't need a struggle to be worthy? What if I could want stability, abundance, and creative freedom without believing I had to sacrifice my peace to get there? That's what detachment gave me. Not an escape from the vision, but an invitation to release the parts of me that were still trying to prove something. I stopped obsessing over the when. I stopped needing constant evidence that I was making progress. And I started asking better questions. What's trying to realign here? What am I being invited to see? And what gets to become possible now that my old timeline has collapsed? Because when your plans fall apart, it doesn't mean you're off path. Sometimes it means you're finally available for what's real, what's actually aligned, what doesn't require performance to sustain it. I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. Detachment isn't giving up. It's letting go of the version of the story that was built from survival. It's saying, I still believe in the vision, but I don't need to burn myself out to reach it. This year taught me that my peace is the real manifestation, that my ability to sit with what's unclear, to remain open when things don't go as planned, that is the growth. And in that space, between what I thought would be and what actually is, I found something deeper than the outcome. I found trust. Trust in myself, in the unfolding and the slow, mysterious rhythm of becoming. Some of the hardest detachment we'll ever face isn't from timelines or outcomes. It's from people, the ones we loved with an open heart, the ones who felt like maybe, finally, this could be it, the ones we thought would stay. There's a unique kind of ache that comes when love doesn't land the way you hoped it would. Not because there was a lack of feeling, but because there was a lack of alignment. And this year I've had to face that too, more than once. Those moments when something starts to unfold, softly, slowly, beautifully, only to dissolve just as quietly. The old version of me would have tried to force it. Would have over-explained, over-given, overextended. I would have abandoned myself in the name of potential, tried to prove that I was worth staying for. But that's the thing about conscious detachment. You stop making people your projects. You stop trying to be chosen and you start choosing yourself, even when it stings. I used to think letting go meant I didn't care. That if I wasn't fighting for it, maybe I was giving up too soon. But now I know, letting go can be the most loving thing you ever do. For them, for yourself, for the version of the relationship that no longer fits where you're going. Detachment in relationships doesn't mean you stop loving. It means you stop trying to love on behalf of both people. It means you stop taking silence as an invitation to speak louder. Stop taking distance as a challenge to close the gap. Stop interpreting mixed signals as something you just need to decode better. Sometimes, love doesn't work out because it was never meant to be permanent. Sometimes it shows up to mirror a lesson, to activate a healing, to reveal what you're still gripping. And that's where the real work happens. I've had to sit with myself in the aftermath of the almosts, to feel the echoes of what could have been, without turning them into stories of my unworthiness. I've had to learn how to stay open, even after being let down. How to hold space for tenderness without making it mean I failed. And that's where detachment becomes something sacred, not just as a survival skill, but as a spiritual practice. Because it's easy to harden, easy to build walls, easy to shut down and decide, I'm done being vulnerable. I won't let myself feel like this again. But real detachment says, I can let this go and I can still keep my heart open. I can walk away and still wish them well. I can be disappointed and still believe in love. It's not about pretending it didn't hurt. It's about not letting the hurt shape how you show up next. This year, I've realized how much of my energy I've spent trying to hold on to things that didn't have the capacity to hold me back. Trying to preserve connections that were never mine to carry alone. Trying to turn potential into partnership when what I really needed was reciprocation. And every time I chose to detach with love instead of bitterness, I created space for something bigger. Not always right away, but slowly, consistently, with more clarity than before. Because when you stay open in your release, you don't lose your softness. You gain your strength. You start to trust your own presence again. You stop making other people the measurement of your worth. You stop chasing what won't stay. And you start attracting what can meet you where you are. That's what I want to offer anyone listening today. Who's still carrying a connection that no longer aligns or grieving a relationship that never fully became what you hoped it would be. You don't have to close your heart to protect it. You don't have to stop feeling to be safe. You can let go and remain whole. Detachment isn't a punishment, it's permission. To love without losing yourself. To release without resentment. To honor what was without dragging it into what's next. There's a moment in the process of a detachment that no one really prepares you for. It's not the letting go itself, but what comes after. The space, the silence, the blank page where something used to live. And it's in that space where the real challenge begins. Not letting your fear rewrite the story. Because it's easy to confuse detachment with disconnection, to go numb instead of being still, to say it doesn't matter when deep down it really does. When I first started learning how to release, not just people, but plans, outcomes, ideas of who I thought I'd be now, I felt like I was floating. Detached, yes, but also disoriented. Like if I'm not holding on to this, then what am I holding on to? And that's the paradox of detachment. You let go, but you still need something to stay tethered to. That something, for me, became my inner rhythm. Not a 5-year plan, not someone else's reassurance, not even a spiritual bypass that says everything happens for a reason, without actually feeling the loss. What tethered me was the return to myself. The quiet moment of asking, can I still trust me even now? Can I feel lost without making it mean I'm failing? Can I be in between and still be enough? Because the old me thought stability came from control, from knowing what was next, from certainty, commitment, clarity. But what I've come to realize is this. The most grounded I've ever felt was when I stopped demanding answers and started anchoring into presence, into breath, into the truth of the moment, not the illusion of what it should have been. I had to train my nervous system to sit with the unknown, to breathe through the discomfort instead of numbing it. To grieve what didn't become without creating shame around it. And in that practice, I discovered something unexpected. I'm okay, even when I'm not okay. Even when the plan falls through, even when the car breaks down, even when a connection fizzles out without warning, even when the version of my life I imagined doesn't show up on schedule. There's a kind of okayness that isn't rooted in external stability, but from internal permission. permission to feel the full range, to be soft and resilient at the same time, to hold heartbreak and hope in the same breath. This doesn't mean I don't still struggle. I do. There are days when detachment feels like defeat, when trust feels hard to access, when I want to grip again, just to feel in control of something. But then I remember, detachment isn't a final destination. It's a moment-by-moment practice, a willingness to loosen my grip on what I thought I needed so I can receive what's actually meant for me. It's not about doing it perfectly. It's about noticing when I'm bracing and softening instead. Noticing when I'm overthinking and returning to my breath. Noticing when I'm trying to chase closure and choosing to close the door gently myself. That's the work. Not hardening, not performing peace, but choosing presence again and again. Even when it's messy. Even when it's vulnerable. Even when it's hard. Especially when it's hard. I think one of the most sacred lessons detachment has taught me is how to sit with what's unresolved. To not rush to tie a bow on every single ending. To not force a breakthrough just so I can feel complete. To not turn every goodbye into a lesson before the dust even settles. Because life doesn't always give us a clean closure. Sometimes people leave without saying what they really meant. Sometimes the chapter ends without a final scene. Sometimes you don't get the apology. Sometimes you don't even get the understanding. And that used to bother me deeply. I wanted clarity, certainty, some kind of neat explanation for the things that didn't work out. But over time, I realized I was spending so much energy trying to explain the pain instead of just feeling it. Trying to intellectualize the loss instead of grieving it. Trying to solve a puzzle that was never meant to be solved, only surrendered to. Detachment invited me to stop waiting for perfect closure and start giving myself permission to move forward anyway. To stop looking back at every moment that didn't bloom as if it was a mistake to be unraveled. And to start seeing it as a part of the tapestry. A necessary part. A thread that still mattered even if it didn't last. Some connections serve as portals. They open something inside you that was buried or forgotten. They remind you of what you're capable of feeling. They show you what still needs healing. But not all portals are meant to become destinations. And when we confuse the two, we stay too long in situations that already serve their purpose. We delay our growth in hopes that they'll turn into something we've already outgrown. That's what I've had to sit with. The knowing that just because something felt meaningful doesn't mean that it has to be permanent. And just because something ended quietly doesn't mean it didn't matter. I've come to believe that the most powerful kind of healing isn't when everything finally makes sense. It's when you no longer need it to. When you can look at the empty space where something used to be and still feel whole. When you can close a chapter without resentment and still honor the version of you who lived inside it. That's where peace lives. Not in the explanation, but in the release. Not in understanding why it happened, but in trusting that you'll be okay even if you never do. So if you're holding on to something that ended without a clean conclusion, if you're caught in the loop of what ifs and maybe one days, this is your permission to stop waiting for closure and start choosing peace. To breathe into the unfinished, to honor what opened in you, to detach, not with bitterness, but with reverence. Because when you stop needing everything to resolve perfectly, you start living with more freedom, more softness, more truth. And you begin to trust the unfolding, even when the ending never arrived the way you hoped it would. If there's one thing I've learned through this season of letting go, it's that detachment doesn't mean we stop caring. It means we stop carrying what was never ours to hold. We release the timelines. We release the need for constant validation. We release the fantasy version of people, the obsessive loops of what could have been, and the inner narrative that says we failed because something didn't last. Detachment doesn't mean we abandon the dream. It just means we stop gripping it from a place of fear. We stop trying to force alignment before it's ready. We stop believing that love, success, healing, or clarity has to arrive on a schedule to be meaningful or real. And maybe most importantly, we stop waiting for everything outside of us to settle before we give ourselves permission to feel safe inside. Because the truth is, life will always be in motion. People will always come and go. Plans will shift, outcomes will surprise you, but you can remain steady. Not because everything is perfect, but because you've learned to trust your presence in the midst of uncertainty. You've learned that your peace doesn't depend on external validation, that your wholeness doesn't vanish when something ends, that your softness isn't weakness. It's a reflection of how deeply you've allowed life to shape you without hardening you. That's what detachment looks like when it's real. It's not cold, it's not dismissive, it's not distant. It's calm, it's conscious, it's a quiet knowing that whatever is meant for you won't require gripping, chasing, or proving. It'll feel like ease. It'll feel like breath. It'll feel like home. So anyone listening who's been in that tension of almosts, of delays, of letting go without knowing what comes next, you're not broken. You are becoming. You're not behind. You're being redirected. You are not losing. You are lightening the load so you can move forward with more clarity, more peace, and more space to receive. So keep softening. Keep trusting. Keep letting go of what weighs you down so you can rise into what's already waiting to meet you. Until next week, I'm Nicholas, and this is Metanoia Madness, signing off.